For those of you who have attended our spiritual conversation group, which happens twice a month, you know that the facilitator presents a poem for the group to read and reflect upon, and then people will gravitate to certain words and passages in the poem which speak to them. Because of the busy schedule here on Sunday morning, I'm not able to join in the spiritual conversations group. But part of my regular spiritual practice involves reading over and over again certain poems and passages from scripture and other writings. One of the poets that I often go to is Rainer Maria Rilke, and often to a particular poem of his that's about perceiving all that we encounter. I find it interesting that when I return to a poem at a different time, different lines or verses of the poem jump out at me. And as I was thinking about what I would preach this morning, two lines from that Rilke poem did just that. I've included them on it's one of the quotations on the cover of your order of service. But those lines read, "What have we learnt from living since we started, except to find in others what we are?" I've been reflecting on those lines. They suggest that we learn who and what we are from others, that relationships are critical to our personal self-definition. Some of those relationships are ones into which we are born, such as the family that raised us. Many of us have found a good part of who we are in our relationships to parents or grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings. And as we grow older, we become part of larger groups, sometimes by choice, but often not. As a child, we didn't choose the neighborhood in which we lived, but the interactions we had living in that neighborhood, good or bad, probably profoundly shaped us. For some of us, our families actively chose a particular school for us to attend, but many of us went to whatever public school was in our district. And our interactions with that group of students and teachers led us to believe certain things about ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, this month is our Urban Ministry Month. And in my work on the board of that organization, I have come to see how important our bringing together Roxbury children and youth into a group that gives them a different message about who they are than what they may perceive in their neighborhoods. I've heard students in that after-school program say things like, "I didn't know that that was in me until the group helped me to see it." Sociologists tell us that we are largely created by our network of relationships. That does not mean if we've been raised in a situation that has led us to have a negative self-image, we must remain in that place for our entire life. We are all works in progress. What it does mean is that at every point in our lives and in the lives of our children, we need to seek out those positive relationships that help us and them discover what's deep inside of us. You know, private reflection and prayer and meditation and individual therapy are all important means of self-understanding. But I believe it is in our group relationships that the door is open even wider to step inside ourselves. In our interactions with others, we continually greet parts of ourself that we may not even have known were there. At a certain level, this is fairly obvious, particularly when you look at our past and reflect upon how this person or this group helped to shape who we are. But sometimes I think many of us in our rather strong individualism sort of think of ourselves as a fait accompli. Yes, we join all sorts of groups for different reasons, and many of those are good and noble reasons, to improve the community, to enrich our children's lives, to help those in need. But how often do we decide to be part of a group because it will help us discover who we are in ways we could never do on our own. On this Sunday, when we welcome and recognize new members, and when at our next service we will welcome a newborn child, our focus rightly goes, I think, to the question of just what does being part of a church mean in our lives? And I'm not asking the question today about what your joining this church does for the institution or its mission. That's an equally important question, and certainly one I have and will explore again with you. Of course, we accomplish many things as a church that we cannot do as individuals. We're so much more when we're together. We accomplish things collectively, standing together for justice and love, pooling our resources to help those in need. All these are things that we can be proud of and are part of this institution. Wanting to be part of that joint effort is certainly a good reason to join a church. It's rewarding and satisfying to feel that you're making this kind of contribution by being part of this church. But at the same time you are doing these things, something else is happening inside you. Something as important for you individually as what we do collectively for others. When you're actively participating in a church, you are, in fact, discovering yourself. This happens in our time of worship, but it also happens in our small group ministry or our spiritual conversations or by serving on a committee or singing in the choir or teaching religious education or working on a social justice task group. And our children have the same kind of experience in our religious education program and youth groups. Here is a safe place where layers of our protective covering can be peeled away and we can find something new or something long forgotten about ourselves. You know, not long ago, a person who has been in our small group ministry program for a couple of years made this observation. She said, "I came to small group ministry to meet new people and learn more about other folks in the church, and I did. But what I really did and wasn't expecting to do was learn more about myself. As I was listening to others share their experiences, I was surprised to discover many things about who I am. I know myself better by participating in small group ministry." As that hymn we just sang suggests, we have a need for these special kinds of relationships that a church like this one can provide. It's especially true at times of great joy, great sadness, and great questioning in our lives. And the experience of going deeper in our own self-awareness and community is a joy. It seems to me that we are missing a great deal in our process of self-discovery and personal development without a relationship provided by a church like this. I regularly meet with newcomers in our church. I wish I could meet with them more and get to know them even more. But in newcomer's coffee, like the one we'll have after church, after both services today, or in our four-week New to UU class that happens a couple of times a year, I learn things from them. And I know from them that there are many different reasons that draw people to a church and lead them to become members here. All those individual reasons are important. But in a way, they all come down to one fairly simple reason. One of my recently retired colleagues, the Reverend Tom Owen Toll, described it this way. The reason you belong to a Unitarian Universalist church is not because it has a theology which you like, nor is it because it's a church where you can believe what you want. It is a decision about whom you wish to be with. Thus far, you're probably thinking this sermon is one based in psychology and sociology, and it is in a way, and it's certainly fine, I think, to preach a sermon from that perspective, But I believe the concept of which we speak also has a deep theological dimension. In the book of James, there's a famous passage. You probably heard me refer to it before. By your deeds shall you be known. As a faith of action with a long history of social justice work, we've emphasized deeds over creeds in our theology for centuries. But the Unitarian Universalist theologian James Luther Adams did a bit of takeoff on that biblical teaching. He suggested that in today's world, it is by your groups shall you be known. Now, probably our first thought when we hear those words is that others will have some idea about who we are when they come to know what groups we belong to. And of course, that's undoubtedly true. But there's more to this teaching than just how others know us. What I'm suggesting to you this morning is that we come to better know ourselves, to know our beliefs, to know what is true in us within the context of group relationships. And in no place is that more true than in a church such as this one. There's no better reason to participate in the life of this church than to discover yourself, to challenge yourself to really discover what it is that you believe in, and then let those beliefs guide your life. Look, I don't for a minute want to diminish the importance of quiet, reflective, peaceful times of self-examination. And our church provides those too. We had a beautiful Vesper service this week. And certainly sitting in this room at the end of a busy day in silence, taking in candle-lighted music, meditating and praying, can lead us to a deeper place of self-discovery. These are certainly times when we can grow in spiritual depth and self-understanding. But what I'm trying to say is that ours is a relational theology. We learn what is ultimate and true for us, not through indoctrination, nor through retreat from the world, but we learn what is true for us, our faith, in the meaningful relationships and activities with which we engage in our church. Answering the question, who we are, requires us to first answer the question, whose we are. Simply put, a church in our tradition is a place of profound human relationship. It is a place that never forces beliefs upon you, but instead provides you the opportunity to connect with other human beings in ways that are rich and full and often unique. These human connections are not just beneficial to the work of the institution, certainly they are, but they are also a path for you of self-discovery and personal formation. We come to a Unitarian Universalist church not to be indoctrinated into a theology, but to be part of a community of meaning and power. Our time together does help us grow individually and mature religiously so that we can then show forth in our lives the manifestation of those beliefs which have been reinforced, rediscovered, or developed for the first time in the context of this community. It's just not easy or effective to practice or develop one's faith alone. Our spiritual growth is not just individual work. Private spiritual practice is important, but simply not enough. In our tradition, we recognize that to really grow spiritually requires one to come together regularly in community. It is our association with each other that is so important to really help us know ourselves. I'd go as far to say that a theology without association cannot be truly meaningful. I think that same Unitarian Universalist theologian, James Luther Adams, captured the idea when he wrote, "If a theology or ethical commitment does not issue an associational preference, it is to this extent not yet clear or meaningful. What he's saying is that we need group involvement to help us sort out who we are. In his words again, by your groups shall you be known. And this is why, unlike other religions, for example, unlike Catholicism, you cannot be a Unitarian Universalist without being a member of a church community. It's not just about accepting some set of beliefs or principles on your own. Rather, it is about binding yourself together with others in community. That's where you'll come to best know yourself and your faith. Perhaps it may seem like self-discovery is a rather self-indulgent reason for being a member of a church. You may think of those loftier reasons like proclaiming justice and changing the world, but I would disagree and suggest that the more we learn about who we are, the better able we are to bring our gifts to the world. All transformation begins with deep self-awareness, and there's no better place to engage in that process of continuing to discover who you are than in this church community. There is more of you. There's more of every one of us yet to be discovered. And this is the place to do it. When I say what I say to every new member, as I did this morning, the truest thing I can tell you about a church is what you get out of it is always in proportion to what you put into it. And of course, that's so. And it's so because in a religious community like this one, we indeed find ourselves again and again and again in our connections. Whether you have been here for days or decades, you are still finding out who you are. I believe that by participating in this church, you will come to better know yourself. And all the while, you'll be sharing yourself with this community and making it stronger and better. They go hand in hand. It's a win-win. I'd like to close with words from one of this congregation's favorite hymns. We would be one as now we join in singing our hymn of love to pledge ourselves anew to that higher cause of greater understanding of who we are and what in us is true. That's what we are doing here week after week. And every time you are part of this gathered community, you do discover more about who you are.